Good morning, everybody. We just received a message from the chairperson, an apology. So in the absence of the chairperson, according to Rule 130 of the National Assembly, we need to elect an acting chairperson for this meeting. Do we have any nominations? Ms. Nelson?
Thank you, to the committee secretary. I want to nominate Honourable Tumi Ndenge to chair this meeting. Thank you.
Is there any seconder for that? Oh, everybody. So, Ms. Ndenge, please take the chair.
Thanks, Honourable Members. Our guests from the Manenbeck Development Cooperative Structure. Once again, I just want to apologize for the chair. There are those hiccups and maybe those challenges in our lifetime, but hoping that you'll join us any minute from now. The problem that is has forgotten the phone at home. But as a whip of the committee, and then I'll take over and preside for this meeting. And also want to welcome everybody in this meeting, and hoping that before you start your presentation, you do some short of introduction so that you know who you are. Maybe everybody who is here, maybe to introduce him or herself. With members, I'll ask also the members to introduce themselves so that you know who will be asking some questions. After the presentation, then we'll ask some clarity-seeking questions and some questions. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. As you've introduced the organization, the Manenberg Development Coordinating Structure, the structure consists of 25 member organizations in the area of Manenberg. And the purpose of the structure being formed is to coordinate development in the area. So my name is Faldila de Vries. I'm the treasurer of the organization.
Good morning. I'm Roshanda Pesco. I'm an additional member of the organization.
My apologies for recording purposes, so that you know who we're here. You can go next to your mic where you are seated and introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Clayton Ambrose. I'm the senior coordinator for Phoenix Foundation, and I'm also executive member of the CPF in Middenburg. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Elaine Goodwin. I'm coordinator of Manenberg Structure in Manenberg.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Frances Kudo. I'm a member of the MPC in Manenberg.
Morning. I'm with Ad Bada, additional member to the MDCS.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Ivy Poison, and I'm also a member of the MDCS.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Bernadette Sidenet. I'm a member of the MDCS Youth.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Carol Kuti from Phoenix Foundation. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mercia Crown. I'm a member of Manenberg Helping Hands.
Good Good morning, everybody. I'm Soraya Sampson. I'm a member of Menenberg Helping Aid.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mwanda Abram. I'm a member of the Menenberg Community Organization.
Thanks for the introduction. Member, you can introduce.
Morning, everyone. I'm James Lorimer, member of the committee.
Morning, Marty Wango, member of the committee.
My name is Peter Smith.
Wendy Nelson, member of the committee.
Morosi Sakhali Disoy, member of the committee.
Tozamile Bota, member of the committee.
Mduabando Machoba, member of the committee.
Kosizwe Zwelile Kamandela, member of the committee.
As they said, the acting chair, Dumisile Mhlengethwa. Those two gentlemen, they are from media.
I'm Bongani Mhlanga, I'm with PMG.
Okay.
I am the Kiss with the PMG.
Thanks, honorable members and ladies and gentlemen. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I first of all want to thank the committee for affording us the opportunity to present our issue. We would have hoped that TEBA, the responding NGO, would have been here today. We feel that there was sufficient time given for them to be present here today. Chair, as you've seen, it's a presentation around allegations of mismanagement of government funding, because we believe that COPTA is funding the community, whatever project, and it's the conduit is TEBA. Therefore, we would have wished that TEBA would have been here today. The Menenberg Development Coordinating Structure, as I've said before, wants to put our concerns. We have documented evidence, which we will hand over to the chair of the community, of the committee. And we've chosen this route as the last option and Section 56 of the Constitution, and as community organizations and the structure, we support government's anti-corruption policy. And in the same breath, we want to be assured that the Menenberg community at large should not be penalized for the actions of leadership of the two organizations. Now, unfortunately, this was part of a bigger presentation to the Department of Public Works, where two, Prodi Menenberg and another organization, also embezzled funding, government funding, where IDT was the conduit. That's why we're saying the members of the two organizations. But in this instance, only Prodi Menenberg received funding, COPTA funding, through TEBA. The TEBA funding, in March 2010, TEBA Development funded Prodi Menenberg, and we've attached an annexure 5A. These funds originated from COPTA. The same modus operandi as in the case of IDT funding happened. The Prodi Menenberg executive members was paid fat salaries, while community beneficiaries was paid 400 rand per month. In the first tranche of funding, which was February to September 2010. In March 2010, 750 rand was paid for 2 months' salary instead of 800. So Vera Cottle told the community that the 50 rand short paid was for people whose funding did not come through. In April 2020, no funding monies was received by participants. on the 7th of May, participants received 150 rand. Participants were told to vote between the two groups before they could get the balance of the money. Not everybody was paid the balance. When I refer to the two groups, is there was participants within Praji Menenberg that started to question the modus operandi and accountability of Praji Menenberg, and this group was played up against one another. And then they were told, if you vote for us, you will get your money. And that seems to have been the modus operandi with everybody that challenges accountability within Praji Menenberg. Recently, the same thing happened. The second group that started challenging, and they were also expelled out of the organization. In March 2011, Teba paid 101,000 rand into the Praji Menenberg banking account. Of this amount, 50,000 was withdrawn for beneficiaries, while four staff members was collectively paid 46,700. And we've got the annexure of the bank statement included in the pack. Beneficiaries was paid 120 rand on the 22nd of April 2011 over the Easter weekend, and the balance of 360 was paid on the 10th of May 2011, annexure fees. Abuse of the project beneficiaries. What this basically comes down to is that government funding that is meant for the poorest of the poor as a poverty alleviation project is being used to do outside activities of the organization. For instance, they are used to do marches. They are used to do door-to-door campaigns on behalf of the organization, and they are told, if you don't participate in this outside activities, you will not be paid. And they were asked to sign the attendance sheets when attending these marches. Government funding was therefore used to fund these activities. Beneficiaries were threatened if they do not participate, and some of them were expelled. Beneficiaries applied to be part of the extended public work projects in order to get an income. That's how we see it, that the poor has applied to benefit from government funding. There seems to be no fix. There seems to be no fixed time of payment to the beneficiaries. In some months, only part payments was received. Beneficiaries were used to do door-to-door campaigning for Mario Wanza and were paid with Teba funding. Beneficiaries were told that they must vote for Mario Wanza because Mario Wanza only received 411 votes in the elections, beneficiaries were threatened that they would be fired. Beneficiaries are, as I said, I'm repeating that, beneficiaries are now told to raise the funds in order to cover the cost of the campaign. No capacity building and skilling has happened since the project was implemented. The IEC website shows that Maria Wanza is an independent candidate. Media clippings dated the 31st of May 2010 claimed that Praji Menenberg funding was used to fund the campaign, and the annexure 3A shows the withdrawal. Now, committee members, there's been media responses by Teba, and the person who was the spokesperson for Teba released contrary media statements saying that Teba pays the beneficiaries themselves. Now, we've included in our pack, first of all, the Praji Menenberg bank statement, which shows the money coming from Teba into the Praji Menenberg account, and we have included the beneficiaries bank statement, which shows the money being paid from Proudly Menenberg into the beneficiary's account. Now, one of the questions that we want to pose to the committee is, or we would have posed it to Teba had they been here, is what is the conditions of funding for the Teba funding and this community project funding? Because we think that it is the way the funding is being used is not conducive to A, being a form of employment opportunities for the poor, because as in the IDT funding, people were supposed to work 8 days of the month. Now, that makes sense because it would give people the opportunity to find employment when they're not working. So it gives them some income as a subsistence allowance, and it would allow them to seek employment, gainful employment otherwise. The way the project has been managed, and that's why we haven't seen the conditions of the funding, the way it's managed is that people must be there every day. So for two of the most beneficial times when they could be looking for work, they must be there every day for 2 hours or something to that effect. Now, we don't think that running a project in that manner is conducive. Secondly, we don't feel that the way that the project is being run, the poorest of the poor is benefiting, as we've shown that 4 members is getting off the salary. People are getting salaries of 11,000, 8,000, and we don't know how Mario and Amelia September is being paid because they are the top leaders in the organization, but we can't trace their payment. And we feel that their salaries is being siphoned off somewhere else. As we said, we've taken the same kind of presentation around the IDT funding to Public Works Portfolio Committee because IDT refused to give us the information of mismanagement. We knew there was mismanagement. We had affidavits to the fact of mismanagement, but they refused to give us the result of the audit report by PricewaterhouseCoopers. At that portfolio meeting in June this year, we were given finally a report by IDT that said that there was duplications of the beneficiaries on the timesheets. The names and the beneficiaries' numbers is mismatched, and that the support documents supporting their claim doesn't match the claim. Now, we know that this kind of modus operandi is continuing. We've heard from community member as late as on Thursday that there's ghost workers and people are being paid through the bank and then they go and collect the money and then they get given a slice of this little bit of money. We've also received a letter by the second breakaway group saying how the Teba money was abused for other things and overalls and stuff that they were supposed to be paid hasn't happened. So, Chief, we hope that this portfolio committee, who are the custodians of the funding, would have a proper investigation done based on the substantial evidence that we will hand over to the committee. I thank you.
Thanks for the presentation. No any additional but the presentation. Members, here is a presentation before us. As we know that we are fighting corruption in all our courts, here are the whistleblowers. Let's hear the question.
Wendy Peter J. Thanks, Jefferson. Just for my own clarity, there's two things that I'd like to ask. Thing is the Congress. Now, there's been 25 open member organizations to the Menenberg community forum.
Where did these 25, had they applied for funding to wherever, and then the table was used as a conduit, or is timber the main or you know the organization that receives funding, and then they distribute? Just clarity in that. When you talk about project beneficiary for you, and maybe you will write down your questions, they will ask all of them, then we'll respond after the questions. So if we can just, if I can just get in my own mind the clarity about how this funding is funneled to a person. And then the beneficiaries, are these beneficiaries linked to each of these 25 projects? When you say the person that was voted for, was this local government elections that took place last year? The issue of, has TEBA ever been audited, I think, Chair? I've just listed a few of them. Whether TEBA has been audited, and whether the funding that goes to TEBA, is it from the provincial department? And what, I'd love to see their business plan, or, you know, how they get their funding, on what basis they get their funding. And then I think, Chairperson, my last comment is that on the audit report, one that from public website, that shouldn't be a problem. We'll be able to source any reports that is requested. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'm actually largely covered by Wendy. Just one question, though. What is your relationship as the MDCS? What's your relationship to Proudly Mannenberg? I mean, is that simply, was that an organization established perhaps to access funding for something? Was it one of your members once, because you're 25-member organizations, so is this one of yours that's gone and done its own thing, or is it a completely separate organization? And what is the relationship? Otherwise, I'm covered by Wendy.
Yeah, as am I partly covered. I just need to get clarity on exactly who TEBA is, who Proudly Mannenberg are, how they interrelate. Also, what is the project there to do? How many beneficiaries are there? I think it'd be interesting for us to find out why COGTA is funding it. As you said, is it provincial COGTA, is it national COGTA? On what basis, what part of the department is sending these funds? I think if you could give us the answers to any of those, that would be helpful. Otherwise, we'll have to find out ourselves.
Thanks. In addition to that, in the presentation, we were told that IDT had the same similar incident with it. Could we have the amounts involved and which of the organizations within the Mannenberg group have been involved in that as well, please?
Thank you, Chair. In the report, mention has been made that there are annexes. I don't know. Maybe I'm having lots of... Sharina has given me lots of papers, but I haven't... Even when I was in the office reading it, I couldn't see it. And number two... the presenter alluded to the fact that they have done the similar presentation to the public works portfolio. One would want to know what was the result thereof, because we may be going to embark on whatever which has been done by our colleague here. Then media clipping. One would want to really see this media clipping, because maybe it was there in the media I saw, but I didn't like know the story. That is why maybe I couldn't follow it up. Thank you, Chair.
Wendy?
Just a follow-up, Chair. What is the amount that TEBA is managing for the, I presume it's the, this presentation relates to the 2010-11 financial year. And we would obviously be able to source the 19 financial year as well. But for 2011, what amounts are we looking at?
Then can I add one maybe before you respond? I just want to check at the end of your presentation, you made mention of some duplication of beneficiaries on timesheets. So that means one person is registered twice, and the salary is going out for two people. And also, I just want to check, according maybe to your labor relations, you said in this project people are supposed to work maybe eight days a month, some few hours in a week for receiving this 400 rand. It's according to labor relations. Now they are going there every day as the beneficiaries of this project. I just want to check which other avenues or institutions that you've advised the people to go to for help, besides maybe coming here in Parliament, because we've got district offices, we've got offices in your area. I just want to check which other institutions that you manage. You've got your constituent offices in your area. Which other institutions that you went to just to resolve that one, because it means they are not taking this issue according to labor relations. And also, I had one question here. The matches. In your presentation, you said, I didn't understand it very well. Would you are talking about a project which is strictly non-partisan, which is not political. But I'm hearing you saying that the people were supposed to participate on matches. Can you please elaborate more on that one? Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I will try and answer all the questions, but please, you're free to ask me the question again, which I maybe have omitted. Okay, the first speaker on clarity around TEBA and who the beneficiaries are who received it, and which local which elections involved, and was TEBA audited, and where is the funding coming from, and what is the amount that TEBA is managing, as I've recorded. Now, the issue around who TEBA is, my understanding is that the funding came via COCTA through the Community Works Project, CWP. And we don't know much about...
Hello, sorry to interject or interrupt you. I just want to get the meaning of TEBA. What is TEBA? Is it an abbreviation of some sort, or is it the name of a person, or the bank,
okay,
or it's what?
TEBA is a... I looked it up on the internet. It's a Section 21 non-profit organization. That's what I've seen, and there's a TEBA Bank, and there's a TEBA Development, and so I would assume it's under the TEBA Development Section 21 that the funding was used, the CWP funding, and TEBA is a conduit, or the same as IDT is, to government funding. COCTA National. In the IDT document, the official dealing with the CWP funding was mentioned. Unfortunately, we didn't bring that one with. Anybody got the IDT document? Check on my bag. Teba was used as a conduit. The beneficiary, the local, the elections was the local government elections. We can't answer for whether Teba had audited statements and the amounts that Teba managed. That's why we had said up front we would have wanted Teba to be accountable and be present at this meeting, because there are many questions that we cannot answer.
Okay, may I just interject there? Was there an invitation extended to Teba and by whom?
Just asking Sharon and Bue.
Sharon, can you come?
We tried from outside to get hold of people at Teba, but there was no answer on their telephones. I even sent an email, but there was no response.
You can continue, dear.
She, according to the IDT report, the official in COCTA is Rickson Lovengo, and his contact number was given to us in this report, and we have made contact with him. So I would assume a senior director should be able to have the Teba contacts and know about the funding. What is MDCS versus Proudly Mannenberg and the relationship? I'll have to take a step back, because initially when Proudly Mannenberg was constituted, the idea was that all the organizations, they would be the umbrella body that would promote Mannenberg and raise funds, and when the funds come, it will be sent to the existing organizations that already had projects, because it was about working smarter. That was what it was. I was the first treasurer of the constituted body, and there was a lot of mistrust at the beginning, and I put my head on the line that, no, it will work, and so on. And then what happened was, and the organizations was asked to submit projects to Proudly Mannenberg, which Proudly Mannenberg would fundraise for. When the funding, however, came through, they took the money, never sent it, and sent it to the other organizations, and started the project for which they had they received funding, whichever funding they received. As the then treasurer, I had major problems in how the funding was spent, because it wasn't spent according to the MOUs. And I refused to sign many a check as a signatory, and raised the alarm bells then already that this is not how government funding should be spent. I refused to stand for re-elections and exited the organization at that point. Proudly Mannenberg. What then happened after that, the organizations went to the provincial legislature and to the mayor of Cape Town as a collective to go and raise the concerns that the monies isn't being broadly benefited by the whole community and all the organizations, and the way that the money is being spent. The city and the province then called a conference in June 2009, where there was consensus that it's not working, and let's look at how we merge all the organizations again to work as a collective. And it was agreed at this conference that there must be a coordinating structure formed, and Proudly Mannenberg must be part of this so that we can realize our goals as set up before. After the conference, Proudly Mannenberg denied everything that was discussed, but the committee that was set up to form this coordinating structure went ahead and form the structure and came up as all the beneficiaries came up with this name, Menenberg Development Coordinating Structure, which was subsequently launched. We have challenged the modus, and we have said both to the province and to the city that we need accountability for the millions that was received by Proudly Menenberg. 6 million from the city, I think an equal amount from the province, and they have never been called to account for the funding. I can tell you as the treasurer that from the funding that was received from province, it wasn't spent accordingly. I can vouch for 150,000 that was supposed to be spent on bridging the divide between Gugulethu and Menenberg and bringing those two communities together. Not a blue bean was spent on it. I can vouch for that. I will make an affidavit. So we can go on how what the MOU said and what the funding is done. The same happened with IDT funding and the same happened with TEVA funding. In the pack you will see there's a letter that came out unsigned, but it's from, we know where it originated from, saying how the money is being abused, the TEVA money. So that is the relationship. Unfortunately, TM has got a very good...
Just so we understand the context, everything you're saying here now helps a lot to place the thing in context. That development conference you had with the role players, project management were there. This new coordinating structure got formed subsequently by agreement. Did TEVA come to that?
No,
they were not
there yet.
But the city was there as a funder.
The city was there as a funder, the province was there as a funder, and the Development Bank of South Africa was there as a funder. But TEVA wasn't in the picture yet at that stage. The funding didn't come. The TEVA funding only came when IDT stopped their funding. TEVA funding came on board
to Proudly
Menenberg. So the other organizations have formed this, and we do joint projects. We assist each other. We don't fundraise as such yet, but we do support and assist each other when there is projects to be run, and we do collective fund projects and even though we don't have the funding. What the irony of all this is that Proudly Menenberg has got a very good public relations thing, and they're always in the media, and everybody outside of Menenberg thinks they're great, but only us that know what's happening know the other side of the story. So the clarity, I hope, I've brought about the relationship between Proudly Menenberg and MDCS. Proudly Menenberg had set up a youth sector, safety sector, and so on. So when funders come, they get up and they say, we're the safety sector. And automatically people would think it's the safety sector for Menenberg. But it's the Proudly Menenberg safety sector. So there's been a lot of smokes and mirrors happening. So the beneficiaries is that it's community people, the unemployed people in Menenberg that goes there and they put their name down and they either get the work or not, but when they ask, they're supposed to be just followers. They are never capacitated. There's no skills training and so on. They sweep the streets day in and day out for 2 hours. The area as such hasn't improved. We're saying that there must be education of the community, because when the project closes, people must take ownership and sweep in front of their own doors and so on. So we're saying there must be capacity building, which is not happening. The IDT and the similarities and the amounts involved. IDT was why we went to the Public Works Portfolio Committee, Madam Chair, is that the funding, the Public Works project, labor intensive project, was initiated by and is accountable to the public works portfolio. And IDT, which is, I don't know what their status is, but they are used for government funding. They a schedule. What did they say they were? Anyhow, they have a parastatal kind of status as IDT. They receive massive government funding for various projects. And so IDT in this instance was used as the conduit. But the custodians of the funds was Public Works. That's why we went to the Public Works Portfolio Committee. The outcome of that meeting was that, again, the Public Works department wasn't present to answer to the issues of the IDT funding. And we were given the assurance that they would call a follow-up meeting where the Public Works Department was supposed to account why the forensic audit that was a recommendation from PricewaterhouseCoopers, and PricewaterhouseCoopers is the IDT fund auditors, and they did a periphery investigation on the Proudly Mannenberg thing to come up with those three issues that they've noted. And PricewaterhouseCoopers had requested that the Public Works Department must commission a forensic audit on Proudly Mannenberg. Now, that hasn't happened. And as far as we know, we haven't been called back to the Portfolio Committee to get a report from the Public Works Department. On the issue of the annexures, Chair, we have included, unfortunately, we couldn't scan all the documents to send to Shireen, but that is in the pack that we've handed over to the chair. We've only, all those proof annexures is in that pack. The presentation, the media clippings is in the presentation. The chair asking about the duplication of beneficiaries. The duplication of chair was done, the same person, sometimes triplicates or whatever. All that they wanted was names on their sheets, but the beneficiary only got one payment. So the money was scanned off to the executive members. We have it on record that the chair, for instance, got 30,000 per month. And you know, that is ludicrous. We went public on it, and we were, I, in my personal capacity, was given a lawyer's letter for going public on the fact that the chair was getting 30,000 and they're putting the money in their pockets, and that the proletariat, the people working on the ground, was getting 50 rand a day. Now, it doesn't take a genius to work out that the community must work 2.5 years to earn what the chairperson was earning in a month. That is criminal. Chair, that is criminal. To use money that must go to the poor for your own pocket. Then the last one, where the chair asked, what avenues did we use before coming here? My colleague Rusanda will answer, because she was part of the first breakaway group that took the challenge and was doing the campaigning in the community until they brought their case to MDCS, where we then thought that all the other things didn't work. We'll use Section 59 of the Constitution. That's why we're here. But she will explain all the things that they, as the first group, had done. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, Chi. It was an enormous fight in that moment, yes. Not nice to talk about, because wherever we went, it's almost like we're telling a lie. We went as far as the speaker. The counselors couldn't assist us. It's like everybody's like, don't go there. You mustn't touch there. So, and for us, it was like, we supposed to be, this people supposed to be serving us at that moment, and it wasn't happening. Because everybody knew long time ago what was happening, and they were keeping their mouths. I was only working for 8 months in the organization. I was a facilitator there, and I had to facilitate the constitution of the organization. After doing that, people realized and saw what the constitution said and what was happening in the organization isn't happening. And that is when people started to ask questions around the money that came into the organization. So when we approached them, at that time, we submitted, at that time, a document to the speaker here at Provincial. We submitted to Mr. Dan Plato. Nothing came of that. We went to the police. They said they couldn't assist us. Some of our members were thrown in jail because we spoke out. That was the trauma that was happening at that moment in Manenberg. And when we came to the MDCS, they assisted us in getting to the, we even had a lawyer. We had, although we didn't earn money at that time, we had to go into debt, lend money to get a lawyer, because that was told to us. We won't get anywhere if we don't have legal assistance and representation to assist us. At the end of the day, only by a few months ago, when the MDCA said we could approach the portfolio committee, only then, and then again we had to pay 1,800 to get that package that we gave to the portfolio committee. We had to buy from the advocate again to give it to the portfolio committee. So again we had to spend money. And actually it's sad to say that our parliamentarians that we thought were looking out for us weren't there for us at that point. They weren't there because they disappointed us. We had to do our own thing with our own money, fight for ourselves, scream, make a noise. It was in the newspaper, 5 o'clock on the radio for people to come and assist us. That nobody came out. Nobody came out to assist us. Only when we went to the MDCS collectively, and even now we feel despondent because while we've been at the IDT, the portfolio committee, and we've laid our case, it was confirmed, the allegations was confirmed that money was mismanaged. We're waiting for there to lay a charge. We can't even get that report. So we're putting our fight again in your hands today. So please, honorable members, Manenberg is waiting. Thank you.
You want to do a follow-up on this? Just a follow-up question again, Chair. When was the presentation made to the public works portfolio? When was the presentation made to public works portfolio?
It was the 14th, no? Of June 2011. 14th June 2011.
Okay. I think as a... Okay, before maybe I...
Sorry, just some more clarity. You say the City Council, the province, and the IDT have all funded in the past. Have they stopped funding Proudly Manenberg, to your knowledge? And do you know whether they stopped because of the allegations of irregularities?
Whilst we were doing our own investigation, the city has stopped funding, but mostly even before that the city stopped, because why, we came upon paperwork where the city asked for the audits which could never be delivered, and that made us scared, because why, the city didn't even make then a move to keep them accountable, and they are like, we can do, it was said to us in public, you can do whatever you want. You can go to whichever minister. You won't get what you want. So they are moving like a law on their own in the community.
can I just come in there? I think the city was within their own right, if they funded something, to ask for an audit. I think it was the correct procedure for the city to follow. And if funding was given to an organization, you have to account for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if failing which, they had the full right to withhold funding.
And with the provinces, will funding stop some problems?
Yeah. According to my knowledge, because my recently we've been working closely with the province and with some projects they pulled us in. So what's going around in the community now is like, you are with the province and you sided with them and you're selling us out, and that is the kind of things that happen. And nobody, because even Mario once came to a meeting where he said he can't understand why the province don't want to assist them anymore. I just want to add one thing. We also went to the public protector for assistance in this matter, and we have a letter where they stated they couldn't assist us, but recently they were in our community when I approached them again, and because why afterwards I found out that supposed to be IDT is a peristatal of government, so supposed to be the public protector had to assist us with the case. But we're looking forward to them assisting us now.
Yes, Peter Demachov.
There's just information. I was just Googling the organization's concerned, and it says that Teva Development is one of two agencies appointed by COGTA to oversee as an implementing arm for the Community Works Program. So I don't know what the second organization would be, but it's one of the two.
Demachov.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is to say we may take this and lightly, but this is deeper than what we were getting here. If you check IDT, IDT is a particular problem from government and public works, but it's not about millions, it's billions. It's not about and millions. If we are not taking this one, that means we are not doing our job. This is billions. Because all the departments, they are putting money through this IDT, which is very bad, if I can put it that way. I think there's community now that it came to us, that must we have to make a plan. Because it's not about the quota. It's human settlements, water affairs, all of them, all of these billions. More than 21 billion to be the it's not about a million. If now the money bank and has come to us for an assistance, we'll have to sit down and this committee and map up the way forward. Otherwise, we can ask questions, more questions there. But at the end of the day, as a committee, as a court, of course, we are part of them. They are part of the money which are coming from court via TEBA or via IDT. Of course, we have asked the court as a political committee that they are creating the jobs. So we then ask them, how is this them working? They said, no, they are found something. Thousand people who are working with this 2 days, 1 day in the month. But to be exact, it's billions which are missing. There's a corruption there. And works is the one who was supposed to take an action with this. But at the end, it's public works. All the revolve about public things. Thanks,
Chair. When do you want to come in?
Chairperson, I confer with Honourable Matoba is saying. I think, just sitting from where I am now, I think corporate governance must call for a forensic audit of TEBA, and with specific reference then to the Mannenberg, but it should be on both of IDT as well as TEBA,
because and it would then encompass, I think, all the other departments if it comes from COGTA, you know, the funding that is received. That's what I would think that should be done, that we should call for a forensic audit check.
Thanks.
I think it shouldn't only be from the forensic, from a COGTA point of view only, because it's been said that the city was involved. Then when it didn't get what it's supposed to get, they pull out, because it means that they funded first. I think they have to follow up what happened to what they funded, even if they pull off.
I think, members, you are contributing on a way forward from this meeting. I also want to add some few way forward new proposals that we agree upon. Next week, we'll be receiving presentation from the department, COGTA. I think a second item on the agenda must be the presentation from this item we're talking about. We need a report to hear their side on their CWP program. Because remember, members, we received their presentation on CWP. You remember we're not satisfied on their implementation on the ground. We even, in our last meeting, we asked them to send us a report, a breakdown report on provinces and places, where are those projects. Hoping that we didn't receive that one. So I think the second item on the agenda for next meeting, I'm proposing that we will agree that we must receive that presentation from the department, which will include even funding and how these two projects, the TEBA and the other two that you have googled, Peter, have funded, and how have they responded to accounting. You want to add something, Lauren?
Would it not be an idea also to communicate with the Public Works Portfolio Committee to find out what action, if any, they've taken on this?
So I was not concluding my name, because I wanted us also to have maybe a joint before as a portfolio committee, we have to go through this supporting annexures document and get the facts. I think maybe from next week, before the presentation from the department, you must be knowing, have gone through these papers and know. And also ask for a joint meeting with the Department of Public Works and us. But I think these documents will give us any which other portfolio committees are involved, so that we'll have a joint meeting. After that one, we'll also pursue a further investigation after we've heard from the department. I don't know, is there any additions from this?
I think, we must also, PwC has already requested a forensic audit. So we must get a report on that, whether that audit was done or not, and that documentation be made available, if it has been done too.
Are there any additional from the? I'll give you for to conclude. I just want to pave the way forward for yourself on what developments will come after this meeting, so that you'll go out and know what will happen and when are we going to come back to you again. Because I think we've had your presentation, we know you are concerned, and this is the high last structure, the national structure of the country, whereby we've been asking assistance to other institutions. I think that's why I'm saying we need to come back together again and look at these things and come up with a way forward. That much I wanted to add something?
If we need more information, we can even on the right to human services admin and get exactly what happened to them as human settlement with this IDT. Quite a lot of money there. Yeah, there are a lot of things now that this information, even when we need the information, all the departments, they are having a problem with the IDT, which are being funded by Public Works.
And also because Chairperson is not around, and Yena, he's the one who knows the gist of the matter, and he'll be the one who again be coming with some more suggestions on the way forward. I can give you the opportunity to conclude.
One of the issues that we've omitted was, you know, Chair, there's a legal binding agreement between IDT and Proudly Menenberg, which stipulates how the funding must be spent. Now, we were at the presentation of Public Works when IDT presented the business plans. We were invited by the chair of the portfolio to come and sit in. Now, clearly, they said they were a Schedule 2 committee or something like that. But also they attested to supporting and adhering to the Public Finance Management Act. Now, my understanding of that act is if your attention is drawn to corruption and you have investigated and found corruption, you're supposed to lay a charge with SEPs. So I cannot see why the delay in laying the charge, because they have found corruption. And the amount was asked initially, there was, just on the surface, there was 97,000 missing that they could just pick up very quickly. But the forensic will show more detailed, and that is what we've been waiting for before laying charges, because as the MDCS we do intend laying charges, because there are other issues that doesn't pertain to government where the same organization has engaged in major corruption, but it's got nothing to do with government. So we have sought legal opinion on those issues, and we were told to lay the case with the Hawks. I'm just saying this, how serious, you know, Madam Chair, what is sad is that the community at large are being used as the draw card to get the funding. If you go into Menenberg now, you'll see Proudly Menenberg boards all over the show with CPWP written and the government's logo and Proudly Menenberg. And it looks very nice when you look at it. But nobody knows what's happening underneath the surface. And that's what we're bringing to the fore now. Because people think, and the sad part of this is that the individual is taking it to other communities, but he's heading it. And that's why we are saying that this must stop and it must be investigated, because TEBA funding is being used in Hanover Park, Philippi, and Tafel St. Mitchell's Plain. And the same, and because those people are not as organized as we are to raise questions, because we know what's going on, everybody's very happy that this funding is coming and they're getting something. But the community is getting the crumbs, and the cake is being eaten by a few individuals at the top, and that's our concern. That the poorest of the poor must benefit. We are not here to say we must get the funding. What we are saying, as citizens of this country, we want to blow the whistle on corruption, which is government funding. That's what we're here for. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. I think if there are no follow-up questions, we have summed up and our way forward from this meeting. To sum up this meeting, I would like maybe to, on behalf of the chairperson and the portfolio committee, thank the organization. Thanks all of you to give yourselves time to come before the committee, and also it's very rare in some organizations down there to know the constitution whereby you knew Section 57 allows you to come before the committee and present your case. I've summed up the way forward, what are we going to do here. I would like maybe to thank Sharon will inform you time and again what we'll be taking forward. But we've agreed that in our summary that we will pursue the investigation further, and the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs will come before the committee next week. We'll be asking some further presentations so that we'll know what has happened on the money. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Members, the meeting with the Appropriations Committee is at Goodhope Chamber at 2 o'clock. Goodhope Chamber. The 2 o'clock meeting is at Goodhope Chamber.
From
here we're done now, the 2 o'clock, Goodhope Chamber. Can I quickly?
Yes.
We were supposed to have the Department of Cooperative Governance today to make a presentation on the annual report, but they are attending the Presidential Coordinating Committee today, so they put in apologies for that. So we're only having this meeting and the appropriations one in the afternoon. And then for tomorrow, we initially had the Department of Traditional Affairs, but they will be presenting together next week. So tomorrow we'll have a presentation by SALGA on the annual report and the CRL Commission. 10 o'clock in the same venue. By lunchtime. The National House of Traditional Leaders haven't submitted an annual report yet, so we were supposed to have them open tomorrow, but we can't report. The annual report is not submitted. Thank you.
And you must have
Ramadan Muru.